It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
New York's new governor, good afternoon. Welcome aboard for the first time in the state's 233-year history. A woman is head of state in the Empire State.
I want people to believe in their governor again.
Western New York's Kathy Hochul took over as governor at 1 minute past midnight this morning.
I want people who know what they're doing surrounding me, and I'll listen to their advice.
At a public swearing-in ceremony, the 62-year-old Hochul said she is eager to steer the ship of state.
This is an emotional moment for me, but it is one that I prepared for. And I'm so looking forward to continuing the work we have to do.
Reporter Steve Burns.
The to-do list is long. Tackling COVID and vaccine rules, getting rent relief out, rebuilding relationships, all in the shadow of an election coming next year. Hochul has said she wants to run for a full term, but a lot of other people likely do as well.
Hochul takes over for a man who held the job for more than a decade. Now, former Governor Cuomo steps down in disgrace, convinced, however, that he is innocent of the accusations he faces.
I am a fighter, and my instinct is to fight this because it is unfair and unjust in my mind. But you also know that I love New York. And in this moment, prolonging this situation could only cause governmental paralysis. And that is just not an option for you and not an option for the state.
A top aide to the ex-gov says Cuomo has no interest in seeking public office ever again in New York. Next stop, Afghanistan. U.S. forces in Afghanistan. Do they stay or do they go? Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Are they going to have a little more time? And if they are going to have more time, how do they prepare for that? How do they prepare for possibility of conflict with the Taliban, which is now warning the U.S. military against staying even a little bit longer?
The Pentagon is confident it can get everybody out by August 31st. California Democrat Adam Schiff is not so sure.
It's very unlikely. Given the number of Americans who still need to be evacuated, it's hard for me to imagine all of that can be accomplished between now and the end of the month. I think the threat to the airport is very real. This would make a very attractive target for ISIS or for elements of Al-Qaeda.
Schiff fears the chaos in Kabul will result in a terrorist takeover of Afghanistan. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki disputes claims that Americans are stranded there.
I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not.
There are no Americans stranded is the White House's official position on what's happening in Afghanistan.
I'm just calling you out for saying that we are stranded. Americans in Afghanistan.
But this American in Afghanistan says that's exactly what she is. Stranded.
I am afraid for my life. We are in danger. I'm an American. Rescue me. Evacuate me. Take me home.
President Biden discussing today with world leaders the possibility of extending the deadline to get us out of Afghanistan. The Taliban says the deadline is a red line, and it's threatening consequences if we remain there beyond the end of the month. The search for survivors continues in flood-ravaged Tennessee.
Just hopefully we'll find her, have some type of closure.
That mom's teenage daughter is missing. Over 20 are dead in hard-hit Waverly. It's hard to put into words the extent of the damage.
You're talking, what, maybe 7 to 8 miles, maybe 10 miles of devastation. And when I'm saying devastation, if you go into these areas, we're not talking about people getting just their houses flooded. We are talking about that. But I'm talking about houses that's been removed from the foundation.
Meanwhile, flood cleanup efforts continue in the northeast from Tropical Storm Henri.
Peter Becker's family is power washing the seating area around their ice cream shop, rinsing off the mud and muck.
We emptied the store. We're down to the floor. We have the floor clean already. You know, the big thing is we're going to have to go through all the electrical problems.
Business owners say this row of stores has flooded at least 4 times in the last 20 years.
Every time it rains significantly, we're washed out.
Other news today, pushing the needle. President Biden encouraging U.S. companies, public or otherwise, to make vaccines mandatory as a condition of employment.
If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, a state or local leader who has been waiting for full FDA approval to require vaccinations, I call on you now to do that.
These union heads fear vaccine mandates will create worker shortages at hospitals, nursing homes, police stations, and firehouses.
We're not really talking about a mandate that's going to get all of our people vaccinated. We're talking about a mandate that's going to get rid of the people who aren't vaccinated. I feel like we're solving a problem that we don't have.
And I believe they will walk when this time comes. It's not a matter of making them vaccinated. It's a matter of them stepping off the job.
The mad dash to vax comes as Pfizer's COVID shot gets full approval from the FDA. Moderna's vaccine expected to win full approval next month.
First of all, many of us were saying back in March these things needed full approval. The American people needed that faith and seal of the U.S. regulatory bodies. This is all way late.
Dr. Marty McCarry at Johns Hopkins University. The White House intel report on COVID's origins could be released as soon as next week. The Biden administration ordered that review back in May. China is denying allegations that it unleashed the virus on the world. The jury's still out on whether COVID was naturally occurring or whether it leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China. Burnout at the border. Experts warning of morale collapse among agents patrolling our southern border. This agent says it's a losing battle at the border.
There are many shifts where some stations deploy zero agents to the field because our priority has become simply getting people through the system as quickly as possible so that we can make room for the next people that are inevitably going to cross.
Last month saw record number of illegal border crossings, over 210,000 just in July. Texas Congressman Michael Burgess.
In light of the fact of just the sheer volume, the numbers of illegal crossings that occurred during the month of July, you would think the federal government would step up and provide additional funding, but that is unfortunately not the case.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is in the process of building a border wall of his own with no help from the federal government. Big tipper in the Sunshine State. The wait staff at a Florida restaurant are jumping with joy today after a customer left them a $10,000 tip on a $140 meal. The man ate at the Wahoo Seafood Grill in Gainesville, Florida. After his meal, he thanked the restaurant's entire staff for showing up and working hard. Each waiter and waitress will get $1,000. On the restaurant Facebook page today, the owner says after a tough year and a half, his staff has new faith and humanity and plans to pay it forward in the spirit of that big tipper there in Gainesville. And still to come on the Noon Report, changing of the guard in New York, state of emergency in Steuben County, and pot, apparently big business in Pennsylvania. But first, let's stop by the Weather Center. Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon. The heat's on. Looks like the heat and humidity will be rather impressive and sometimes oppressing over the next couple days and nights. I've got the numbers, your forecast coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Let's check the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. The last Republican governor of New York, George Pataki, says he is rooting for the success of the latest one. 62-year-old Hamburg native Kathy Hochul sworn in today.
In these ridiculous political times where Republicans and Democrats don't talk to each other, let alone try to get along, I think all of us should just say, we have a new governor. Doesn't matter where she's from, whether it's Western New York or New York City. Doesn't matter if she's a Republican or Democrat. We want her to succeed.
New York's first ever female governor seems eager to take the reins.
I'm prepared for this. I've led a life working in every level of government.
After taking the oath, Hochul was asked, what's on your mind?
I thought about all the women who came before me, including my mother, who was not there, but a lot of women through history. And I felt they passed the torch to me.
Hochul served two terms as lieutenant governor, one term in Congress, before ascending to the highest office in the state. A spokesperson for former Governor Cuomo says he has no plans to seek public office ever again in the Empire State. The Red Cross has reopened an emergency shelter for Steuben County residents who remain unable to get back into their homes after last week's horrific floods. That shelter is located at the Tuscarora Elementary School in Addison. Tim Marshall is director of public safety for the county.
I mean, we basically
basically got probably about a dozen homes that have been destroyed and 25 or 30 homes that have major damage.
County Manager Jack Wheeler says the cleanup won't be quick and it won't be cheap.
It's millions of dollars, very likely tens of millions of dollars.
Ken Ferenz with Steuben County Emergency Services says they don't need any looky-loos checking out the scenery.
We know people want to see the damage, but if people can refrain from coming to the area if they don't have business to conduct here, that would be very helpful. There's a lot of roadways that still have severe damage, a lot of closed roadways.
States of emergency still in the towns of Greenwood, Canisteo, Troopsburg, Jasper, Woodhull, and Addison. A New York State trooper drowned in a lake in Fulton County this week. 45-year-old James Monda of Schenectady was working a marine detail on the Great Sacandaga Lake when he went into the water during a boat launch and did not resurface. Monda served with the New York State Police for more than 18 years. More vaccine mandates might be coming.
The Food and Drug Administration has fully approved the Pfizer COVID vaccine. It's the first vaccine to graduate from emergency use authorization. The decision may also lead to more vaccination mandates, as many businesses have said they would not issue one until the FDA fully approved it. The University at Buffalo announced last month students who want to attend in-person classes will need to get a COVID-19 vaccine following FDA approval of a vaccine. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
New York SUNY system is now mandating all students be fully vaccinated within 35 days. If they are not, those students will be deregistered from their classes. SUNY is the largest public university system in the country, with nearly a 500,000 students enrolled on 64 campuses across the state. Erie County, New York, laying down the law when it comes to face masks in school. County Executive Mark Polenkars.
Those parents who refuse to have their children masked in school, they're just not going to be allowed into school. They have to wear a mask or they will not be allowed into school. And if they so choose, they can homeschool their children. They have that option.
Parents have mixed feelings about the mask rule in school.
I understand their decision and I support it, even though I don't like the idea of my child wearing a mask. But with the numbers rising, it makes sense.
I think that the children should wear the mask. It's just being safe than sorry.
They wore them last year to school. Most of the kids didn't have a problem with it.
No, I think it's good. I know some people may say no, but you know what? The children adapt greater than we think they do.
I'm not happy with the mandate. First, we have them to put on the mask. Now they feeling, okay, well, I'm going to get comfortable with the mask. Now you're telling me I can take it off, so now I'm free to take off the mask. Now I'm putting the mask back on.
That's what some of you are saying today about masks in school. Buffalo area schools will be giving students 5-minute mask breaks each hour during the school day. Pot is big business in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The Pennsylvania marijuana market has reached nearly $3.5 billion in sales just since 2018. Pot was legalized in Pennsylvania for the treatment of medical conditions back in 2016. Since then, more than 630,000 patients and caregivers have signed up to receive cannabis. Now there are efforts afoot in Harrisburg to legalize recreational marijuana. Pro-family forces fear if that happens, drugged driving will become a major problem in Pennsylvania. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. Make it 10 in a row now for the New York Yankees, the 2-minute drill, next in sports with Sonny Delfiette.
Yeah, Bob, how's this for Major League Baseball history? For the first time since 1901, two teams with 9-game winning streaks played each other. Giancarlo Stanton made sure the Yankees would win. They beat Atlanta 5-1 off of his bat, 2-for-3, a double, home run, and 3 runs batted in for the Yankees. Aaron Boone called his slugger a unicorn.
He does things every night that are a little bit different than anyone else, and that was one of those that, you know, almost hit it in the restaurant.
The Yankees have the top American League wildcard spot. With the loss, Atlanta remains 4.5 games ahead of the Phillies, 6.5 games ahead of the Mets in the National League East. The Blue Jays keeping their playoff hopes alive, beating the White Sox 2-1. They're 4 games out of the wildcard. The Pirates rally by the Diamondbacks for a 6-5 win. Speaking of rallies, Little League action yesterday, the undefeateds played. Texas up big on Michigan 5-0, but Michigan's Cameron Thorning did this with the bases loaded.
And he blasts this one. High and deep to right center. One-run ball game. It's a granny for Thorning.
That made it 5-4. Taylor, Michigan would add two more runs for a 6-5 win. South Dakota with another shutout win. They beat Oregon 3-0 to remain undefeated. Elimination games with Ohio advancing, beating Louisiana 8-2. Nebraska advances with a 3-2 win over Washington. Elimination games today between New Jersey and Texas, in New Hampshire taking on Oregon in the nightcap. College football, Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC ready to form a landmark alliance today. The announcement expected to address non-conference scheduling as well as college football playoff expansion, among other items. The alliance comes on the heels of Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. And speaking at Jim Kelly's Celebrity Golf Tournament yesterday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is hoping the Bills don't join another city. He says the league needs them in Buffalo.
Well, we're focused on keeping the Bills here in a new stadium and a public-private partnership. That's what this is all about.
The Bills' current lease runs out in 2023. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition, On Edge in Afghanistan. New York's new governor and little leaguers to the rescue.
The latest news, the latest alarm about climate change should come across to Christians as a calling, not as a reason to fear. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change panicked, or at least they officially announced to the world that they were panicking. In its new official assessment report, the panel concluded that we won't even be able to stop the Earth from warming at least 1.5 degrees. And that change, the report says, will melt Arctic ice, cause sea levels to rise, cause more dangerous weather, and send millions into poverty. If industrialized nations don't dramatically cut their carbon emissions, it could even be worse. Now, sometimes Christians hear apocalyptic news like this and feel just a distinct urge to change the channel. However, it should not be controversial to say that Christians should care about the planet. After all, as the book of Genesis plainly puts it, that's what we were created for. It's also, however, important to note the worldview assumptions that are built into a report like the IPCC. These are assumptions that often go unspoken. For example, one of these is that the Earth's climate is changing in a way that it's not supposed to. A sense of existential instability, in other words, that the world that we have is only here because of razor-thin margins of success, well, that's warranted under a naturalistic worldview. But Christians need not share that same existential dread. The Bible tells us that God both created and sustains His creation. As Paul wrote in Colossians, He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. At the same time, the consequences of the fall have wreaked havoc on God's creation and on our ability to properly steward the world. Clearly, things aren't perfect here anymore, and we're capable of both harming ourselves and the created order. At the same time, that doesn't mean our climate is hopelessly out of control. Isaiah 40 sounds at first like a warning. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. But have great comfort. Nothing withers or fades outside of His control, outside of His breath. Now, that comfort is simply not available in a worldview that does not have a God in it. And that's evident in so many of these reports about climate change. For example, there's an emphasis in this IPCC report on what humans should do to prevent the globe from warming further. Notice the implication that we have the ability to control this problem. Now, certainly, as humans, we have agency and we have a responsibility to make good decisions. But it's far easier on an emotional level to believe that the big, scary problems like climate change or a pandemic or anything else, that these are our fault and therefore we can actually fix the problem. It's far easier to believe that than to believe that the universe is outside of our control. Vulnerability is quite uncomfortable. Another worldview assumption that's built into catastrophic visions of life in the world is that humans are problems that need to be solved. In that narrative, too many humans is the biggest problem we can have because the world is one of limited resources and there's nothing we can actually do once the balance is out of kilter. But the truth is, as the world has changed over centuries, including that warming period back in the Middle Ages, humans have often displayed incredible adaptability. Even the things we now blame for harming the climate and we think we need to get under control, like the industrialization that increases carbon emissions, these are the things that have improved the lives of humans more than our ancestors could have ever imagined, and arguably more than its side effects could have ever harmed humanity. So we should be aware of reports about the changing climate that come in as an alarm as opposed to a calling. We believe that we bear the image of God, the God who created the world and who maintains interest in it. God has put us in charge while He waits to return. So we should be about solving problems that arise within the power entrusted to us, at the same time reminding each other that He's coming back and that the foundations and the future of the created order don't rest completely on our shoulders. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Speaking of the climate, let's talk weather. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, steamy heat, good deal of sunshine, behind the 80s to near 90. Mainly clear tonight, 60s and low 70s overnight. Tomorrow, hot, humid with sunshine, maybe an afternoon thunderstorm, far western New York. High temperatures nudging 90. Thursday, steamy, sun and clouds and a couple thunderstorms and a high temperature in the 80s to near 90.
All right, Kim, thank you very much at the Weather Center. This here is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Lots going on this Tuesday afternoon, the 24th of August. New York got a new governor today. Western New York native Kathy Hochul took the oath of office at 1 minute past midnight, becoming the first ever female governor in the state's 233-year history.
Hochul will address reporters at 3 o'clock this afternoon. One of the first orders of business might be a school mask mandate. Hochul said last week that she believes a mask mandate is needed in order for children to return to the classroom.
Scott Pringle reporting former Governor Cuomo may be out of office, but he is still under investigation.
Prosecutors in several New York counties have already said their investigations into whether Cuomo committed any crimes will continue. Of the dozen women accusing Cuomo of sexual harassment, at least one, Lindsay Boylan, has said she'll file suit. The FBI and Brooklyn U.S. Attorney's Office are investigating Cuomo and his administration over the handling of nursing homes during the COVID crisis.
Mike Bauer in Albany. I spoke today with political analyst Dr. Steve Coleman about the new head of state in New York. 19 million New Yorkers have this collective question, Steve. Who is Kathy Hochul? What kind of governor do you think she will be?
Well, she said she's not going to have a toxic workplace. She's going to promote opportunity for women. She's going to fight the COVID virus and do her best to help promote and develop the state's economy.
Yeah, and she started very humble beginnings in Hamburg, New York. She was described by her colleagues during the early part of her political career as a moderate Democrat. Do you think that she will govern from the center, or do you think she's going to be much more of a progressive Democrat like her predecessor, Andrew Cuomo?
I think she'll govern from the center. I think she wants to appeal to the vast majority of New Yorkers. And actually, now that she's governor, this is the first day of her campaign to win a four-year term in 2022. She says she's running again, so everything she does now is going to be in the equation of a campaign. And if she wins, she'll be the first woman in the state's history to win a four-year term as governor in New York State.
And that's going to be a crowded field. I know Tish James, the attorney general, is another. She's the one that authored the report that brought down Governor Cuomo. Some are saying, Steve, that there's some of this stink sticks to Kathy Hochul. The scandals surrounding Governor Cuomo, whether it be the COVID deaths in nursing homes or how much did she know about the sexual harassment allegations. Do you think she comes out of this clean, Kathy Hochul?
Yes, I do, because I don't think there was much interaction between Cuomo and Kathy Hochul. What Kathy Hochul did pretty much was she went around the state and gave speeches. That's what she was doing. And little or no interaction with Andrew Cuomo.
Political analyst Dr. Steve Coleman. The White House refusing to use the word stranded to describe the situation facing Americans left behind in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not.
Stranded or not, the White House is confident it can get everybody out who wants out by the end of the month. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says the retaking of the Bagram Air Base to speed up that effort is not in the cards.
I don't think it would be a useful expenditure of our time to Monday morning quarterback.
Jen? I'm not talking about Monday morning quarterbacking. Look at the situation now. You need airfields that you can land on to get people out.
What you're talking about is would be an expenditure of resources and personnel, as well as an increase, most likely, to the threat that they're under to try to go back and retake Bagram Air Base, which is the size of a small city.
Kirby grilled by Fox News Pentagon correspondent Jennifer Griffin. Conservative journalist Lara Logan thinks the Biden administration has surrendered to the Taliban.
The Biden administration wants you to accept that there is nothing that can be done.
that this outcome that you see, where the United States, a world superpower, is humiliated, defeated, and shamed on the world stage, that it bows at the feet of terrorists, that we have to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan?
President Biden meeting with world leaders today to discuss the possibility of extending the August 31st deadline for our getting out of Afghanistan. The Taliban warns that deadline is a red line, and there will be consequences if we do. The personal possessions of Al Capone, one of America's most notorious gangsters, are being auctioned off in Sacramento.
Al Capone's three living granddaughters, who are all in their 70s, have decided to sell the family estate because they say they're getting older. Granddaughter Diane Capone says she doesn't want the family heirlooms to be left to people who don't know the stories behind them. Items up for auction have been in the family for almost 90 years, including Capone's favorite gun, family photos, a home movie of Capone and his associates, plus a prison letter he wrote to his son, Sonny Capone, while in Alcatraz. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Very interesting. Thank you, Tracy. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guests this week, Michael Reese and Caleb Stubbe from Addison, New York. This youth baseball coach and player, part of a team that helped nearby Woodhull clean up from last week's devastating floods.
Traded the baseball glove for some work gloves and got to work. Michael, we'll start with you. What made you decide to take on a project like this?
Well, I was actually cleaning a really good friend's machine shop all day on Thursday. And when I saw that they got that under control, I sat in the parking lot and I got a feeling. I would call it divine intervention, that Woodhull just needed help. And so I just reached out to the baseball team, and knowing that I had a group of kids that would probably want to help, you know, I just reached out to them.
Yeah.
And it's funny, we actually went there with no plan. None of us had any idea of the devastation that Woodhull had experienced. You know, the pictures and the videos don't even do it justice.
Now, Caleb, you were part of this effort last week to go to Woodhull and help out. What made you decide to do this, and share with our listeners what exactly you did?
I did it because I wanted to help, because I saw what happened at the baseball field and stuff. Pulled rugs out, moved stuff around the house and throwing it away.
What did you see in Woodhull, and how did it make you feel?
It was all destroyed. I felt bad for the people because they probably couldn't fix their houses.
Now, Mike, how did it make you feel to be able to be a part of something like this and to see these young kids do something like this? I mean, it's got to make you swell up with pride inside, I would imagine.
That is definitely one of the emotions that I'm feeling. You know, really, there's so many emotions. There's heartache, you know, to see people's lives just turn completely upside down. You know, we witnessed one woman who was going through the stuff that was destroyed, and all of her family photos were included in it. And she just sat there and wept. Just tremendous pride for these kids to take the time without any kind of hesitation and help complete strangers. You know, it really demonstrates a level of character with these kids. You know, it's not the same kind of pride that you see when they do well on the baseball field. It's the kind of pride that, you know, that, you know, these kids are being raised by great parents, and they're being raised to be incredible human beings. And I'm inspired to continue coaching and leaning into their lives.
Yeah. Well, it was really neat to see, you know, a lot of devastation, but this was a really a silver lining in this tragedy. The recovery effort continues today. I know a lot of help from all across the country arrives in southern Steuben County this week. And Mike, how is the recovery effort going there?
It's going. You know, the area is devastated. A lot of the homes are going to have to be condemned. You know, we assisted with the cleanup of 12 different homes, but there are so many more that need help. As far as I'm concerned, the donations and volunteers will be desperately needed. And I know that they're in desperate need of licensed electricians so that they can they can certify that the home is safe to turn the electricity back on.
Well, a lot of hoops to jump through before we're over this. And Mike, I know you're a coach and you've filled with pride from what you see on the baseball field, but just describe the reaction from your players after they were done helping out last week. What did you see? What did you witness?
My son actually said to me, he said it felt good to help people that needed it. That was certainly a big source of pride for me. And then after the first day, I actually took him for ice cream and bought pizza. I didn't let him go into a pizza place because we smelled pretty bad. but when they finished up, their first reaction was, can we go clean the baseball and softball fields? They want a place to play next spring. And it just shows you what kind of impact baseball has on these kids.
Michael Reese and Caleb Stubbe from Addison, New York, this week's Hometown Heroes. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Now that the remains of Tropical Storm Henri have exited the northeast, we turn our attention to high pressure and Bermuda high pressure that will see to it that the heat and humidity will be at rather lofty levels the next couple days and nights. So try to stay cool, good hydration, don't overdo it working or playing outside. Our call for this afternoon, steamy heat, good deal of sunshine, the high in the 80s to near 90. Mainly clear tonight, 60s and low 70s overnight. Tomorrow, hot, humid with sunshine, maybe an afternoon thunderstorm in far western New York. High temperatures nudging 90. Thursday, steamy, sun and clouds and a couple thunderstorms and a high temperature in the 80s to near 90.
All right, hot stuff sticking around. Thanks, Kevin. Finally, noon, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo apparently in the doghouse with dog lovers. He abandoned his dog when he left the governor's mansion in Albany. Sarah Lee Kessler has the scoop.
The Albany Times-Union reports Cuomo tried to give Captain away, asking staffers to take the Siberian Husky Malamute that he adopted in 2018. One worker reportedly volunteered, but Captain has a history of being nippy and was returned a few days later and seen wandering the grounds. Cuomo is tweeting a denial, suggesting their separation is temporary, but the New York State Animal Protection Federation is outraged and offering to find Captain a trainer and a loving forever home. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
All right, thank you very much, Sarah. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, August 24th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.